The pressure to innovate is constant. It can be crippling, or it can be a catalyst for your best thinking and your best work. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you understand the forces that drive change and find new approaches to compete and win on innovation. Change course. Get ahead. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's been a few weeks since we've been on the show. Super excited today. There's so many things happening in my world lately. I don't know what direction to go in. Have you ever had those moments where you just seem to be on fire with the Lord and you just don't even know which direction to go? You just can't stop smiling. I know that that happens to me quite often, but also after about a week of that, it just seems to kind of wear off. And I struggle with that from time to time. And I often wonder how others get by that process. One of the things I know for sure is that I'm not out there by myself, right? So that's why we do this show. I'm able to talk to other people in the Christian community, pastors, speakers, authors that can share their journeys across the land, around the world, actually, now with the internet, and explains how they battle through the moments that aren't full of smiles. And I'll tell you a little bit about what's been going on with me. I know that I took a little bit of a break. I was a little bit under the weather. But we tend to have all these different excuses for not doing the things that God put us here to do. And I started thinking about it. And, you know, of course, I attend men's Bible study. And I try to stay plugged in because we know that when we don't plug in, well, we're like an ember away from the fire. It's kind of warm, but there's no flame. And if you stay out there too long, that warm turns cold and you're back to being, well, for lack of better words, dead. So I like to stay plugged in so I can get kicked back into the fire, and that ember fires up and it has a little bit of a flame to it. And then I feel like I'm fired up. And, you know, when you're fired up, when you're excited, when things are going good in your life, when your favorite football team wins the game, when your child has an incredible performance in a play at school, or, you know, maybe they're playing sports, or, you know, maybe they're in a spelling contest, whatever it may be, those 9 seconds that happen in your life just make you smile like you just can't stop smiling forever. So I started thinking about it, and I started praying on different things, and, you know, we're always trying to find out our purpose in life, what God has us here for. What is our purpose here on earth? Well, I know what people tell you, I know what you might think, but deep down inside, do you really know, and are you 100% sure? I'd like to think that I know. I'd like to think that I'm 100% sure. But lately, I've just been praying for God to show me my purpose. Just show me my purpose and try to step back from the controls of that automobile that I'm driving to find my purpose. How hard is that? I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it. They're coming out with cars that drive themselves. If you live here in Houston, that's a blessing because of the way people drive at rush hour. It's a little scary. But are you willing to take your hands and your feet off of the controls of your vehicle to drive down the road? Are you willing to do that? Do you trust the car manufacturers that much? I know people are excited about it. But let's say you are. Let's say you test drove it and it worked. Let's bring that process to God now. I mean, you know he created us. He created us for a purpose. He allowed us to have grace. He allowed us to do a lot of things. Do you trust him enough to take your hands and feet off the controls and let the automobile or your life, this vehicle of your body, be guided by God without any control of you? And are you willing to just smile and enjoy the ride like you would be excited to be in a car that operates by itself? How about those people that can't parallel park and the car will park for you? Okay. How about those people that have no way to turn and are so down on themselves and so ill or going through a tragedy or an unbelievable situation and God heals them or brings them through it? It's kind of like hands-free parallel parking, I think. It's just a done-for-you service. So why not trust God enough to allow Him to place you where you're supposed to be? After all, He created us. He already had a purpose for us, and He knows where He wants us to be. Now, I know all you men out there who like to drive the vehicle so we can give our wives the opportunity to tell us where to turn, where we missed a turn, and which direction to go, and how fast we're not going. But all joking aside, why wouldn't you be willing to let God take control and let Him drive you down the highway that you're supposed to be on and take all the right turns? Now, would that be less suffering? I don't know. I hope not. Only because without suffering, we don't understand. It's unfortunate, but that's the way we're wired. So today, I'd like to challenge everybody and just see if you can just imagine driving in that vehicle in 5 years, 10 years from now, where everybody else is on the highway, hands-free. Now, that's got to be a safe feeling because we see how people drive. But yourself included, hands-free, feet-free, driving down the highway with no opportunity to make a decision of where you're turning and where you're not turning. You just plug your navigation in, and it takes you there, hands-free. Would you be willing to wake up each day and plug in your navigation to God, spend your time with Him in the morning, and let Him lead you through your day? Now, for you wise guys out there, I know you have a job, and you have to go to work, and you have responsibilities, but God knows all that, too. So after you get done coming up with all these reasons why you couldn't do that, think about what it would be like if you could do that. I went to a prayer breakfast this past weekend on a Saturday morning, bright and early, with a bunch of men. And I thought, well, this is a good way to get up and out of the house early in the morning. I'll see what happens. I want to stay plugged in. I want to stay fired up. I want to just stay connected to like-minded people. Well, the speaker said, hey, everybody, I'd like to do a little test with you. Everybody stand up and close your eyes and just think about what it would be like if you were to just be in a field, feet in the cold grass, and you could close your eyes and imagine God was coming at you, running at you, and you were not sure if it was really God or not, but you just kept your eyes closed and you kept looking at it, right? And I'm praying for God to show me Him, but yet I'm not seeing anything. But, you know, this speaker just kept going through it, and he said, look, you know, we did it for about 5 minutes. And he said, you know, some people felt like they met God right there in that spot. Some people just felt really calm, and some people like myself didn't see anything. Okay, but what he was getting to was if you can close yourself down and you can imagine God there, if you could see God there and you could talk to God, what would it be like? And as he described it, he likes to think of it as a piece of heaven. That's what it would be like when you're in heaven. So how often do you take time to stop during your day and just like exhale, close your eyes? And, you know, I don't expect anyone to do this in drive time traffic, right? But how about for just 5 minutes before breakfast, after lunch, before you get in your vehicle? How would that work for you? Would you be able to find yourself in a place where you were closer to God? Because if we can get closer to God, how exciting is that? So you can see there's a lot of things been going on in my world the last 3 weeks, and my mind's been racing like crazy, and I've been witnessing things that I hadn't witnessed before because I hadn't slowed myself down. Now, listen, folks, I'm not saying that I didn't speed right back up an hour later, okay? That's just how we roll. But if you can start with the little bits and pieces of it, I think that in a long-term relationship with the Lord, you can find some peace inside yourself, and that's how it starts. And that's all I want. I want to find a little bit of peace in myself. I want to be able to know that if I close my eyes, I can see the Lord. If you close your eyes, you can see your children. You can see your wife. Why can't you see the Lord? It's something that we need to practice. So I challenge everyone to try that this week. See how it goes. If you want to call into the show, 347-989-1363. Tell us your experiences with it. you want to be a guest on the show, you go to toughtalkchristianradio.com. Share what the Lord's doing in your life, what you're doing for others, what mission you might be on, and how things have worked out for you. I'm always excited to connect with people, so you can hit me up on social media under Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can find me through info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. I love meeting new people and hearing what they're doing and how the world around them is experiencing the Lord. So, without wasting any time, I want to bring up my guest today, a gentleman that I'm meeting for the first time as well as you. He's a pastor. We both found out that we're both from the same state of Pennsylvania. Neither one of us live there now, but that's where we're from. We're going to find out more about John Polis here in a second, but he's planted churches. He's a TV host, a radio host, and he's authored 11 books, translated into 6 languages. And to me, folks, this is what I call exciting information, because when you have been around the Lord that intently for 30 years, some great things have had to have happened. So I'm excited to bring John up on the show today and find out his experiences, what he has witnessed in this crazy world that we live in. So without wasting any time, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Really glad to be with you, and I certainly enjoyed your encouraging comments there at the opening.
Well, you know, John, as we travel along in our world as men, a lot of things take place that most of us don't want to talk about. We're going to get into that in a little bit here, but what I'd like to do is let the people know more about John, where you're calling him from. I mentioned that you're from Pennsylvania originally, and what got you into the Lord?
Well, right now I'm in Dallas, Texas, actually, for a conference with the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders I've been a part of for the last 20 years. But I'm resident in Fairmont, West Virginia, where Rebecca and I, my wife of 44 years, have been pastoring since 1980 and kind of working out of there as a base to the United States and to the nations of the world for the last we started traveling internationally in 1983. So we've been enjoying the miraculous journey of walking with a living God. I got into a relationship with Christ actually in 1974. I graduated from high school in 68 and joined the Marine Corps in 1968. And you know that was during the Tet Offensive of the Vietnam War. And I went to Vietnam and was wounded there in May or March, rather, of 1970. And came home, spent 7 months actually in the Philadelphia Naval Hospital when it was a naval hospital. And I come out of that naval hospital really on drugs, heavy into hallucinogenics and opiated hash and the whole gamut, and hit the streets back in Elwood City, Pennsylvania, as a bitter, angry young man of 20 years old, and disillusioned, and really not having any purpose in life other than to just get up and get stoned every day and medicate your pain with whatever you could. And I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. Actually, I met a girl, met her in a bar, and we ended up getting married, kind of a whirlwind situation, and we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And we managed to make it for about a year in marriage, and I was so dysfunctional, really. I wasn't ready for any relationship, and so we ended up in a divorce, and that was probably the low point of my life, Tony. I had been when I moved to North Carolina, I moved there to get a job with a company out of New York. There's an insulation company that had moved there. And actually, after working about a year, I was the plant foreman. It was a small place. And they ended up firing me for selling drugs out of the warehouse. And but just at a really low point in my life, out of work, now divorced on drugs, and didn't know God. Well, there was a young lady, my present wife, lived next door in the apartment complex where we lived in Charlotte, and we had met and both had a motorcycle. We started riding motorcycles together, and we ended up moving in together. And in the course of events, 1974, my wife was, Rebecca, my wife now, was watching a Christian TV program. And I was raised in a religious home, not a home where God was really real, but we believed in God and had religion, rules and whatnot. And my wife prayed a prayer with the TV evangelist and got born again. I mean, she had an encounter with Christ and changed her life. And I saw that change in her, and I wanted it but didn't know how to get it. I fought it for about the first 3 months or so. And we ended up leaving, her and I ended up leaving Charlotte. She's now a born-again Christian, and I'm a struggling young guy trying to get what she had but didn't know how. And we went to Virginia Beach, Virginia, where her brother and sister-in-law lived. And she was in the house visiting. I was sitting out in my van smoking a big joint and drinking a Miller's High Life and listening to Black Sabbath and praying every prayer that I could think of, trying to get what my wife had and couldn't get it. And finally, I got desperately just said, God, whatever you did to Becky, do it to me. And Tony, it was like something flipped over on the inside of me. I know now, you know, biblically speaking, I was born again. I was recreated in God's image in that instantaneous moment. I just instantly dumped out that bag of pot in my relative's front yard. They probably grew some strange plants out there. I didn't know what they were. But I dumped that bag of pot out in the front yard and went and rang the doorbell and asked Rebecca to take me to a Christian bookstore because I need a Bible. And that's how the journey began, Tony. I was radically saved, delivered. Now, never did another drug from that moment. And bought a Bible, the Way translation, a paraphrase, and started reading the Old Testament war stories. And that's where I got into it. But that was the beginning of my life in Christ, radically transformed within 3 years. And that was 74. I wound up in Bible college in Dayton, Ohio, and graduated from Bible college in 1980. And God led us to Fairmont, West Virginia, to begin a pastoring in an old Pentecostal church there. It had about 35 or 40 old. Well, there wasn't anybody over 60. And you know, it was an interesting first experience. But that's how I got into it, and it's been an amazing journey on the five continents and many countries and many miracles and a lot of trials. But I've grown to know Christ more and more every day. And this is really what life is about. John 17:3, the scripture said, this is eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And that's really what life is about, knowing him, our creator, our heavenly father, getting to know him better and better every day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an incredible story. And there's a lot of people out there that are in, you know, I graduated high school in 1974, so I'm a couple years behind you. But there's a lot of people that experienced the Vietnam War, and what a shame it was for the men to come back in the situation that they came back in. But so many guys were in life-threatening situations, and I found the Lord in 2010 from a life-threatening situation, and it's unfortunate that most of us have to go through something like that before we are hungry enough to take the chance on it, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah,
you
true.
Know, sometimes you just feel like desperate. What do you got to lose? But I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me all that time to act the fool to come and save me at this point in time of my life. I wanted to talk to you about, you and I had a little conversation prior to the show, and I wanted to talk about the word faith to you. I know that, you know, you speak a lot about faith in God, and I think that in today's world especially, no one has any faith in anything much more than their selfie that they take with their phone. But I'd like to go down that road with you. Let's talk about how people can, if they're struggling with faith, how they might grab a little bit stronger hold, or if they're, you know, if they're full of the faith, how they might help share it with someone else.
Well, you know, Tony, faith, there's a natural faith, and then there's a natural human faith that we all have, and then there's a God-given faith that's a spiritual commodity in our life. Like the Bible said, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, faith is of the heart. It's a sixth sense. We have our five physical senses. They're in our body. And then we have a sixth sense, which is a spiritual thing. It's because the heart of man is the spirit of man, and faith is in the heart. It's independent of the five physical senses. And that's what Jesus taught. Learning to live by faith is learning to live by what I call a sixth sense. And that sixth sense is able to perceive reality that the five physical senses can't perceive. In fact, the Amplified translation of the Bible, Hebrews 11:1, it says faith perceiving as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the five physical senses. So, you know, our five senses, we have sight and smell and taste and touch and hearing, and the sum total of each of those five senses, which can only perceive one thing. My nose can't see, it can only smell. But the five senses, the sum total of the perception of each of them produces what we call human reason. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your own understanding or your own human reason. And so as when we begin as a Christian, we begin a life of faith. We begin a life that now is learning to live by a sixth sense in our life, and not by those five. It doesn't mean those five senses aren't real. They are real. While we live in the natural world and the spiritual world, but walking with God, you don't know God through the five senses. You know God through the Spirit. God is a spirit, the Bible said. And so we learn to walk by faith, and we learn to walk according to that sixth sense, that the knowledge that's revealed to us apart from the five physical senses, which comes from the Word of God. And, you know, in the natural realm, if I go to work for Tony and you say, hey, I'm going to pay you $100, you know, a week, and I go ahead and trust you and work 40 hours for you just based on your word, you said you were going to do it. And that's natural human faith. And sometimes, of course, natural human faith can be very disappointing because, you know, human beings don't always keep their word. They fail. They have challenges. Circumstances change. And that's something we have to overcome, those failures that come from trusting in man. When we become a Christian, learn to trust in God, because he won't fail and he won't change. And that's why our faith can become a very powerful force in our life, because your faith is only as good as the object of your faith. And God is the object of our faith, and we know God through his word. And so, you know, faith is learning to take God at his word. I have many experiences of just taking God at his word, but I remember a story in the Bible in Matthew chapter 8 of the centurion, the Roman soldier that came to Jesus, and he had a sick servant who was somewhere at his home, at least an hour distance away. And he said, my servant is at home sick. And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion, being a Roman officer, was a man who understood authority. And he said, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word only, because I'm a man under authority, and I just speak a word to my servants, and they do it. So, you know, you just speak the word, and I'll be happy. I'll go my way, knowing that what you said is going to happen. And that's what faith is, taking God at his word, knowing that if God said it, heaven and earth will pass away first before his word will, and his word will not return to him void or without fulfilling its intended purpose. A number of years ago, I was preaching in Romania, and back in 1991, And this was right after, a year or so after the fall of Ceausescu there, if you remember, in Romania. And there's a great move of God in the Balkan countries during that time. Many thousands of people were coming to Christ, and I was privileged to go there and preach during that time and saw a lot of people come to Christ. But during that time, I was there. I was up in the Transylvanian Alps in a little town called Gherla, Romania. I mean, they still use ox carts up there. There's no 911. In fact, we took the medicine there to a local clinic to help, you know, help the local people. A few suitcases of antibiotics and whatnot. And I had a heart attack while I was there. I was in a little chalet that we were staying in with no phone. It didn't have electricity. Running water was like sulfur water. It was really horrible. Pretty primitive situation. And I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning with like a stabbing pain in my back, and my heart was out of rhythm. I was short of breath. I got up and walked into the bathroom because there was another guy sleeping in the room, and I didn't want to wake him. I went in the bathroom and I said, "Lord, you know, you didn't bring me here to Romania to die. And there's nobody to call here. There's no ambulance. There's no medical help. It's just you, Lord." And all of a sudden, Tony, it was like a bucket of warm honey just was poured over my head, and it came down over my chest, and my heart went back into rhythm, and I caught my breath, excuse me, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he says, "When you step off that plane in New York," he said, "the pain will go." Well, I finished preaching four nights, and people were getting saved every night. I had that pain in my back, but I knew that I was going to be okay because God had already, you know, touched me, and then he said, "You know, that pain's going to be gone too, the last part of it." Well, when I stepped off that plane, as soon as my foot hit the ground there in New York, it was like somebody pulled a knife out of my back. That pain left, and man, I'm 68 years old. That was in the early 90s. I ran 5 miles on my 50th birthday, 6 miles on my 60th birthday. I'm planning to run 7 miles on my 70th birthday. I haven't taken a prescription drug in 40 years. And I learned that God doesn't lie. But here's the real key to faith, Tony. I think we need to practice acting like there's no place else to go but God. See, in our country, well, we don't think we do anyway. I mean, we got medical assistance, we've got police protection, we got, you name it. I mean, we have all kind of sources. We have banks to loan us money. We have all kind of sources for everything, and we really learn to depend on those things. And of course, they're there for our use and whatnot. But I found out that you can't always rely on the human element. I mean, doctors are just practicing medicine, you know, practicing. They don't have it down. They're practicing, and thank God for all the good they do, but they're still practicing. And banks collapse, and you name it. Jobs, companies close, but God never changes, and His word will not return to Him void. And so I've tried to learn to live my life this way. I act like there isn't any other help but God. I put myself in a position where I say, "God, if you don't do it, it won't be done." Because I'm going to fully rely on you. And I've learned to do that, especially with my health, over these years. Because when I was a kid, I had rheumatic fever. I had heart murmur. I had those high 106 fevers with hallucinations. And they told me I'd be dead by the time I was 30. My own mother told me that. So you'll be dead by the time you're 30. Well, I'm 68. And I've been through a war. And I've been through all kind of spiritual warfare. And here I am. I'm here because I put my faith in God's word like that centurion, and I live and die based upon that word. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Faith is a way of life. It's not something you do in an emergency. And that's why people have what I call faith failures, because they don't practice living by faith every day. They try to trust God when they have a problem rather than learning to live by faith every day of their life and always trusting God's word. Because if you do, Romans 10:12 says, The Lord is rich unto all them that call upon him, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be ashamed. So when I go to these countries, I just came back from Haiti, and Haiti's a real mess. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's really a desperate situation. And, you know, I've been to countries where there was dangerous elements and terrorist activity and one thing and another, and no good water to drink. And I just say, Lord, you know, you're my healer, you're my deliverer, you're my protector, you're all in all to me, you're everything, and if you don't do it, it won't be done. And I fully rely on him, regardless, it's do or die. And I have found out he doesn't fail. And that's how faith grows. Faith grows by learning to trust God and by – let me give you an example. When it comes to divine health and living long and strong and living healthy, which is God's will for all of our lives, of course we got to eat right, we got to rest, we got to do things. But still there are situations you can do everything right and still have a physical battle. But I try to teach people this. I say, you know, if you get a headache, don't run for a medicine bottle right off the bat. Learn to trust God for healing of some minor thing in your life, something that's not life-threatening. And as you do, your faith grows. Then, you know, there's diseases are on three levels. You know, there's a minor ailment, then there's a serious ailment, then there's a terminal ailment. Most people will depend on totally on the medical profession or on their pills or on their medical journal or whatever until they get a terminal illness. And then they're going to try to trust God. Well, it's probably going to be too late. I've been a pastor since 1980, and I've seen a lot of people die. And not just in my own church, but all over the place. I've preached a lot of funerals. I've seen a lot of people healed too, but I've seen people wait until they're in a desperate situation, try to trust God. And most of the time, it doesn't work out for them. And that's just a sad reality. We need to learn to trust God with little things before we can trust God with big things. And that's what I mean when I say practice your faith. You know, start believing God for the healing of that headache and take out them little ones and then move to bigger ones. And then one day, hey, man, you have a terminal illness. Your faith is built to the place where you can win. It's like King David. He fought the lion and then he fought the bear. What was happening? His faith was growing with fighting those battles. And finally, when he got to Goliath, he had Goliath faith. You don't kill a Goliath with the lion faith or with the bear faith. You got to have Goliath faith. But Goliath faith isn't where he started. You know, his faith grew by fighting battles and overcoming them. I'm on a roll. I could keep going, but I want to stop.
You're preaching it now. I hear you. I hear you, buddy. And it really does make a difference if you create that habit. But it won't work unless you create the habit. It's got to be a practice thing. You're just not going to. It's just not a wild card you can pull out in a desperate time. It's something that you must continuously do. And, you know, it's not easy. I had a pastor say one time that finding Christ is easy, but living it is very difficult. It's a practice. You got to work at it. And he's not, he's not telling a lie there. It is. And it's a matter of how bad you want it. We're kind of running out of time here, John. There's a couple more questions I have for you. And one of the things I wanted to make sure of is to tell people how they can find you. And that's faithchurchtv.net. Gives you all kinds of information. Faithchurchtv.net. One of the other things I wanted to ask you is, as Christians, I'm sure you have seen this in the practice that you've been on that journey with, the battles that Christians face. Can we talk about, and we're like I said, we're running out of time, and there's one more question I have after this, but can we touch on the battles that you see Christians face?
Yes, sir. In fact, I wrote a book that and here's another way people can get me, Tony, johnpolis.com. johnpolis.com. That goes straight to my bookstore. There's a book I wrote called Five Battles Every Christian Must Win: the battle for truth, the battle for the family, the battle for your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, the battle for your faith, and then the battle for your ministry, whatever gift and calling you have in your life. And that book will explain them in detail. But I think Paul said, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. That's really our biggest battle. And what does that boil down to? What does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? Well, it means the devil is always going to try to get you out of faith. And how he does that is by, again, getting you to question God, getting you to focus on your five physical senses, on the circumstances, and get your eyes off of God's word. And so the battle of faith is to keep God's word foremost in my life. I think that's the biggest battle Christians face. And in our culture, we now are facing a lot of skepticism. We're in a culture war in our country. And for Christians today living in this world, Paul told us all in Romans 12:1-2, be not transformed to this world, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Message Bible translates that this way. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And what we have now today is a battle with wanting to be accepted, because biblical Christianity is not accepted in our culture anymore. We used to have a Christian culture, and biblical Christianity is more and more not being accepted. In fact, more and more being challenged, because real Christianity will stand up to sin. Tony, that's something people don't talk about. It will stand up to sin. Jesus said that the world hated him because he pointed out their sin. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. So not that we go around judging everybody, but the fact of the matter is there is right and wrong. And a Christian is supposed to be holding up a standard, the light of the world. So that's a big battle in our culture today. Intimidation is a big battle, where Christians are afraid to mention their faith in Christ because they might lose their job, they lose friends. But at some point, we're going to have to realize that there's going to be a price to pay for being a real Christian and standing up for Jesus Christ. There may be persecution, there may be suffering involved, and we have to be full of the Holy Spirit and God's word in order to stand up to the intimidation of the enemy and in our culture that is continually drifted so far from biblical Christianity now that we're looked upon in this culture. Real Christians are looked upon as bigots and as people of hate and continually being castigated in our culture from our university level on down. So it's a challenging time, but listen, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. My advice to Christians is, count the cost, get full of God's word, get in fellowship with strong Christians, and keep their prayer life up. Like you said, stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and walk the walk, man, because God's on your side. If God is for you, who can be against you?
Amen to that. John, one last question. I got to let you go. We're running out of time. First of all, most importantly, I want to so much thank you for being a guest on my show today, sharing your testimony. And we know that you've walked this journey for a reason, and it's to share it with others so they can understand the value of transparency, especially for the men out there who think that nobody's supposed to know their weaknesses. One last question. In 2018, coming to an end, what's one piece of advice you would hand someone out there that's in a struggle?
Okay, one piece of advice for 2019. Well, realize that you have to be a person that's adaptable, because there are so many changes going on in our world right now. We need to learn to be adaptable and, flow with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the wind blows where it listeth. In other words, God can change directions at any time in our life. And my advice to any Christian out there is learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be adaptable to change, because he's going to take you in different directions in your life. He knows what's best. And like you said earlier, take your hands off the wheel and off the pedals and let the Holy Ghost be in control. That's my advice to everybody.
Awesome. Man, I can't thank you enough. I hope that we can get you back on the show. I want to make sure that everybody knows John Pohlis. Let me spell it. JohnPohlis.com. Check out the books there. I guarantee you it'll make a difference in your life. Find out more about it by going to Faith churchtv.net. What days or how do they find you? Can through your website they can connect to your TV show and your radio shows?
Yes, sir. In fact, Tony, we have an app on. Just go to the App Store, and it's Faith Church International, and they'll see our app there, and they can get our sermons. Every Sunday sermon is downloaded by Monday, and our TV shows are on that app. There's a lot of free information there, and that's Faith Church International on in the App Store.
Awesome.
That's the best
Thank
way,
you so
or,
much
or go to our website.
Thank you so much for your time today, John, and I apologize. We could talk for another hour. We're going to get you back on the show, and I'm just blessed to be able to say that I've had the opportunity to meet you and hear your story, so thank you very much.
Hey, Tony, it's nice to meet you, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Folks, we're going to just do a little wrap-up here of the show. Now, if you joined in late, shame on you. You're going to have to go back and listen to the beginning because John Paulus has brought it today. He took us to church. He was talking to us about faith. He was explaining the process of building faith. Okay? It's like building a house, right? You have to bring in one piece of wood at a time. You can't nail them all up at one time and have a complete house. You got to pour the foundation. You got to build the walls. You got to go through a process. And when you're trying to build your faith, it's probably 100 times harder than building a house. Why? Because the enemy is out there and no one is in your environment that's enabling you to trust more in the Lord than every day. More people trust Google more than Christ. Okay, and it's a sad thing, but it is the way it is. So take baby steps and start trusting your faith in a healthy situation. When things are going good, build your faith. Don't wait till things are going bad or you're desperate. Now, will that take place? Will God provide miracles for you? Absolutely. I'm proof of it, and so is John. But why not start today? Let's take a little bit of insurance out on that process and just see what happens so that you can then tell others how that worked for you, and you will help others be able to cross bridges that you had troubles getting across. You'll be able to help others see the value of taking the step in the right direction. And what's the worst that could happen? Do you fall down? Yeah, just like everyday life. But can you get up? Absolutely. It becomes how much faster you can get up when you have faith in the Lord. My name is Tony Gambone. We're here every Wednesday. And I hope that you will tune into us and stay tuned and connect with our guests. Find out more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, if you want to meet the guest on the show, email me, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I'll personally do an introduction to you. If you're someone out there that's authored a book, or you're a pastor, or you're someone that witnessed a miracle, how God is working in your life, you could be the everyday Joe. You don't have to be a spectacular speaker, a pastor for 30 years. You just have to bring your story that God provided you with to share with others, to take them to the Lord. Once again, my name is Tony Gambone. This is the Tough Talk Christian Radio, brought to you live every week from the Tough Talk Radio Network. I hope everyone has a blessed week. And before I go, I want to just tell you what I try to live by. Ephesians 6:7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. It's not an easy task, but give it a try. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.
You're looking for meaning and purpose in your work.
Hello?
We all are. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you reevaluate goals and develop both personally and professionally to turn their careers into their callings. Don't be different. Be changed. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.